bit more down low. We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. We hope you're all having a wonderful Monday evening alongside Ryan Davis. I'm Dawson Perrell. We got a great show planned for you folks here tonight. We're going to be meeting with Coach Buck along with special guests. But starting off here, Ryan and I will recap the past week for boys basketball. Starting off, they had two games this past week. The first was last Tuesday. They traveled over to Muncie Fieldhouse, one of the biggest field houses in the nation, over Muncie, and they lost to Muncie Central 53-48. That was a tough game for the Arabians. They shot a lot of threes, not many of them fell. You take a look at the actual statistics here for that night's game. As a squad, the Arabians shot 3-for-15 from a long range. That's 20%, and on top of that, from inside of the arc, they shot 59%. So they didn't necessarily shoot bad. In fact, I'd say that's a good shooting night when it comes to down low in the paint, but the Arabians just kept on firing, and you know, it's one of those games where if the Arabian shot were if the Arabians shots were falling, then they would have blown out Muncie Central. They would have blown them out of the water. And on the other end of things, Muncie Central had one of the best shooting nights we've seen out of them all season. Of course, you know, I've heard a couple of players around school saying just like, of course they're going to have their best shooting night. But I mean, you got to expect that. You got to expect that your opponents are going to play their best. And the Arabians still competed with them. It was a very good game down to the wire. But I mean, you look at the shooting splits, and if you looked at the shooting splits, not the final score, you thought this game would have been a blowout, because Muncie Central shot 53% from three-point range. They shot 8-for-15, and then from inside the arc, they shot 76%. So really, from both three-point and two-point, Muncie Central, the Bearcats, shot nearly 20% better than the Arabians. So this is a real tough loss for Pendleton Heights. I mentioned before that Mississinawa game, in my opinion, one of the worst we've seen from Pendleton Heights, at least when it comes to the opponent. I mean, majority, well over half of Pendleton Heights' losses on the year this season have come from top-tier opponents, that being Greenfield Central, New Pal, some other Mount Vernon, some other teams, of course. But Muncie Central just not necessarily having that good of a year. Currently, they stand at 7-13. So again, I think Arabians definitely wish they could replay that one and maybe go a bit rather than just throw up a bunch of threes.
Yeah, I want to mention something about that Muncie Central game. They were 3-for-15 from the three, as you said, and then they were 15-for-17. From the two, so only two more shots below the three-point arc, and I think that's pretty big, because in that Mississinawa game, as you were talking about, they had a great shooting performance. Mm-hmm. Evan Mazingo hitting five threes, and Seth Aravia hitting two, Cooper Sims hitting two. A lot of those players did hit a three in that game. I feel like if they had the shooting performance as they did against Mississinawa, they would have come out with the win in that game.
Yeah, and you look again at Muncie Central here, no player above 10 points, all of them in single digit for the scoring column, and that's something that very uncharacteristic for the Arabians. Some teams, you know, you see that pretty commonly, but the Arabians this season, I mean, Josiah Gustin has, not sure exactly the number, but well over half, my guess, 80%, maybe 70% of his games at double-digit points this season. So that was kind of a shock for the Arabians, not a single player to get to that double-digit mark. And again, it was a defensive battle for at least the Arabians there was. You know, Muncie Central came out on top. And you look at that Mississinawa game, they were actually really similar games. I think the Arabians played very, very in a similar style, and that is, you know, throw up a lot of threes. It's just the only difference was in the Mississinawa game. They were hitting all night, specifically that third quarter. I mean, I'm not sure the exact number. I think it was 7-for-8, maybe 5-for-6 from three-point range in that third quarter alone. But and the final box score, the Arabians were 11-for-18 from three-point against the Mississinawa Indians. That's 61%, and they were actually not shooting too well from inside of the arc. They were 45% on the night when shooting down low or mid-range jumpers and whatnot. So Arabians, you know, again, it was a very similar game played, a very defensive battle. It was somewhat of a low-scoring game, at least when you compare it to other games this season, and the Arabians threw up a lot of threes. The only difference is they were hitting them against Mississinawa, not hitting them against Muncie Central.
Yeah, I think that was a really big drive for them. I think that's basically their offensive scheme in that game. Mm-hmm. Because Mississinawa, the Indians, really did a great job at isolating Josiah and Seth down low. I mean, Josiah couldn't really get off to a hot start just because they were just right on him every single time, double teaming. I saw some triple teams also in that.
Yeah, and Mrs. Sinawa definitely jumped out there, kind of punched the Arabians in the mouth. I think I worded it like that on the broadcast in that first quarter. Mrs. Sinawa, heading into the second quarter, was leading the Arabians 15-7. So, you know, it was definitely, like, looked like Mrs. Sinawa was the better team there in the first quarter, even the second quarter. Pendleton Ice did outscore them 18-12 in quarter number two, but they still led them in going into the locker rooms at halftime. But the Arabians, you look at that third quarter, that's where they really started to get things going on the offensive end. They scored 19 points compared to Mrs. Sinawa's 9, and they finished off the job with a 15-12 scoring differential in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Mrs. Sinawa always stuck with them. It was an 11-point final score, so you look at that. You might think, well, that wasn't too close at all. But down the stretch, I mean, Mrs. Sinawa had several chances to take the lead with fewer than 5 minutes to play. Heck, maybe even 3 minutes to play. But Pendleton Knights stood strong. And another thing I mentioned during our broadcast, Ryan, was, you know, Pendleton Knights this season, they've really struggled when it comes to closing out games. You know, I hate to bring it up again and again, but you look at that Greenfield Central game a couple weeks back where, sure, buzzer beater, you know, you can't do much against it, especially a shot on that level from Braylon Mullins and Greenfield Central to win that game. But that was a close game that the Arabians several opportunities to lock it away that they just couldn't quite get away from the Cougars. And another one to mention, New Pal, similar situation. They had several opportunities to lock it away, get the win. They couldn't, and there's so many others to mention. So I think that was a big win for Pendleton Knights when it comes to a close game environment against, I mean, Mrs. Sinawa. Obviously, their record isn't that good, but I think the Arabians saw firsthand they're a good team, a very, very good team. I think they're going to be making a playoff run for the 3A tournament. That's just my opinion, but they look like a team that could. They had very good defenders, and we've heard Coach Buck and other coaches say that in that postseason, defense is really what's going to win supreme. You know, defense wins championships. So Mrs. Sinawa was a good squad, and the Arabians came away with the win. You look forward for Pendleton Heights. This is going to be their last week of regular season ball before they get into sectional play. They have two games upcoming. The first will be on the 13th tomorrow here at home against Newcastle. That'll be senior night. And then the second game of the week will be the 22nd. They travel over to Heritage Christian to face off against the Heritage Christian Royals. For the Newcastle game, you know, that's a conference matchup. We'll talk with Coach Buck here in a minute about how, you know, Newcastle, last in the conference, not having too hot of a year, one of the worst overall records in the conference, but it's a Hoosier Heritage matchup, and it's not going to be an easy one to win. I'm sure Pendleton Heights is going to really want to win it. Of course, you want to win on senior night. You always do, but against Newcastle, that is definitely not going to be a guarantee. So I think heading into this matchup, the Arabians, yes, senior night, they'll have their celebrations, they'll all get called out, but you got to focus on the game. This is not an easy win for Pendleton Heights by any means, and Newcastle, they got some studs over there playing for the Trojans, so the Arabians are going to have to be playing their best, and I think that's going to start with getting the ball down low. Newcastle does have some size to them, but not necessarily as much as Pendleton Heights, so I think utilizing that size that Josiah and Seth have down low, get some points in the paint going, and then maybe that could open up the exterior. Then you can get some shots falling from the outside and kind of ricochet those two parts of your game and hopefully get the win against the Trojans.
Yeah, the Trojans, they might, if you look at their roster, they might not look like they have a whole lot of height, but when they're down low, when they're fighting for those boards, it looks and feels like they're 6'8", almost every single one of them, by the way they fight for those rebounds and those steals. Their defense is one of the best I've seen watching some of their games, but with this Arabians offense, a lot of people who can score, I feel like this can be a great matchup to see.
Yeah, and you look forward on the schedule. Well, one thing to mention I want to point out here about the Newcastle Trojans, you know, again, 9-10 is their overall record, their conference record. I think they only have one conference win that came against Yorktown, who was ranked just one spot above them in the Hoosier Heritage standings. And Newcastle, you know, they've competed. They've shown this season that they can compete. They lost to New Pal by only 1 point earlier off in the season, and they competed with teams like I mentioned, Yorktown, who, of course, they beat. Delta, they got blown out quite a bit. Greenfield Central got blown out quite a bit. But even non-conference opponents, some solid teams they compete with. But now switching things over, taking a look at the Heritage Christian Eagles. You know, they currently stand at a decent – 12-7, you know, 63% win percentage. They don't necessarily see the toughest competition in the world. You look at some of their schedule, some notable teams to point out. You got Cathedral, North Central, LaPel they lost to earlier, Roncalli. So they face off against some decent teams, but whenever they face off against a team that you're like, all right, this is a good team, they usually get beat pretty bad. You look Guerin Catholic, that was on the 15th of December. They lost to them 63-40. Richmond, who's in Pendleton Heights sectional, they lost to them 61-34. The Cathedral game lost to them by 40 points. North Central by 20. They lost on the LaPel, as I just mentioned, in double overtime by 8 points, and then Roncalli by just over 10. So Heritage Christian, of course, last year, they were definitely more of a fear team, and that was because of Miles Colvin, of course, a four-star commit. He's now playing over at Purdue, so he was definitely kind of their explosive athletic player, and Heritage Christian looks like, when you look at the stats, they're struggling to find that player to kind of fill that big role. They have some very solid players all around, but no one is really standing out. They're a leading scorer, averaging 10.7 points a game. So, you know, they're very spread amongst the four. You got Peters averaging 10, Loudon averaging 9.9, Green averaging 9.4. So, again, they're very much a spread team, which is not necessarily the worst thing. You know, that can be tough to defend because we've mentioned in the past, we've seen this in the past, you know, those type of squads that don't really have one player that stands out, they're going to be sometimes really hard to beat because you don't know who could and who will or might go off that night. So that's going to be another tough matchup, especially on the road. And I think one thing the Arabians could do in that Heritage Christian game is you're looking to sectionals already. You're saying, let's just get to sectionals. This is the last regular season. I'm ready for that playoff basketball, Central Indiana. But you don't want to do that. You still got a game left, and you got to focus on that game at hand. And I think the Arabians have the ability to do that. They just got to keep that in mind because that can be a problem with some teams in the final game of the regular season schedule. But with that being said, we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, Zion Palmieri was able to sit down with a tennis player here at Pendleton Heights for our next segment here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM. Located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Citizens State Bank.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, special occasions, spa days, gift certificates, float tank therapy, massage therapy, permanent makeup, lash extensions, signature facials, IPL laser therapy, red carpet facials and treatments, teeth bleaching, hair removal, and more. On Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style, 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, 765-400-5323 or DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you here to the Coaches Show interview for today. I am here with...
My name is Bella Ritchie, and I'm a Pendleton Heights High School tennis player on the girls' tennis team.
Okay, well, how's your day going so far?
It's been great. It's a great Friday.
Yeah, thanks for meeting me down here today. So, getting into it, how many years have you played tennis?
I've played since my 7th grade years, so that would be 5 years.
Okay. What got you started?
So my family is really big into tennis, so we've honestly just, it's a family thing. I've always played, so.
Do you have a favorite memory?
I would say the bus rides to our games have been really amazing. They're just a really fun group of people, so it's been nice.
So you're a junior, correct? Mm-hmm. Have you had a favorite teammate or a favorite senior that's left or something like that?
I was really close with one of our seniors last year that left, which was really sad, but our team is great. We're all really close friends, so.
What's been your most memorable or, like, favorite achievement when playing tennis?
I would say, I wouldn't even say memorable, but, like, probably the best thing overall is, like, when I'm playing a match and I just get this feeling of, like, it doesn't matter if I win or if I lose. It's just, like, it's been a great game. And I feel like proud of how I've played, proud of my partners, and just proud of our team as a whole, of like fact that we've just done so well as a team and that we're such close friends.
How do you avoid that feeling of like, I didn't play great or something like that?
Honestly, I don't think it's necessarily a feeling you can avoid, because it's just something that just comes along, and you're just, there are points where you're like, man, today was not my day. But I think there's a point where you can say, you know, it wasn't the best, but we can move past that and just be better for the next one, and just know that it's not going to change your whole world if you miss a game, you know, or don't play the best.
So you just said you had a favorite senior, but what was your biggest mentor in all of tennis?
Probably my dad. My dad's been a tennis player. He's been my coach. He's really just taught me everything that I need to know about tennis and how to figure out mental spaces, and it's just been great. He's awesome.
How does having your family involved in like the process of just learning tennis through your life, how has that like bettered your skill in the game?
I mean, they're amazing, because it's like I can get finished with a match, and it's like I can just know that they already know how to help me, how to, you know, fix whatever. Even if it was just something little, they can always help me tweak a serve or whatever to fix the next match. There's definitely a sense of pressure to it, of like, you want to be better because you want to improve to show them that you're better. But yeah.
So currently it is February 9th. Where are we currently in the tennis season?
So I play year round. So which that basically just means that I play summer all the way back to our spring season. Currently right now we have several girls involved in tennis lessons, and then conditioning will start up, which is just working out and getting ready for the season. We have tryouts the week of March 11th, and then our season starts April 1st.
So, you know, you said you play kind of all around. How does the weather affect that?
So with the girls' tennis season is really a terrible season, because it's always rainy and it's cold and it's wet. But the days that we have that are like nice enough that it's at least, you know, like 40 degrees, we can go out and hit. But for the most part, if it's raining or if it's bad, we tend to go inside and play.
How often do you guys have to go inside? Like quite frequently, you'd say?
Yeah, it's pretty frequent. We're in there probably 3 times a week at least.
Does it, like if you're outside or inside, is there any difference for you?
Very large, yeah, for sure. Because when you're inside, it's a controlled environment, so there's no wind, the temperature is nice, there's air conditioning, you know, it's just everything about it is like perfect. As soon as you go outside, you just get even just little things that you don't think about, just the noise level, the, you know, the fact that there are other people's balls rolling onto your court. It's just like there's a lot more that you just forget about when you play inside.
So I know you are a junior, and junior tennis hasn't really started yet, but next year you'll be a senior. So what are you most looking forward to as being a senior?
I would say I'm really excited to just have a senior year where I can think like, this is my last year to play. I just want to just play and have fun. And there's no pressure for me to win any games. It's just to like enjoy my time while I'm here.
Post high school, do you plan on doing anything with tennis?
I mean, I would love to join like a club tennis in college, but I don't think I'd be able to play college season.
Does that kind of like ease the way that you're not like assigned to a team or something
yeah,
like that?
For sure. Yeah.
So you mentioned you improved a lot. What skills specifically have you improved since you started?
So in tennis, you serve the ball. And I basically, over the past like 2 years, I have completely taken apart my serve and put it back together. And it's like finally this place where like I can go out and serve, and I'm like, all of my balls are like going in, and it's just a really nice way to see that I've improved over time.
Was that something you learned through your family?
Yeah, my dad taught me that.
How much does it help having, you know, a tennis smart family, and then also having like coaches and stuff like that?
Oh, I feel a little bad because I know that not everybody has something like that, but I definitely feel like I have my own like coach at home as well as on practice, you know, and that's great.
Has that been like a huge advantage for you, you think?
I would say it's been pretty large. It's definitely given me the ability to like go out and play with people when like my teammates can't always, you know, find somebody to go hit with or whatever. I always have somebody available. So.
Well, that will be it. Thank you for joining me today. And one more time, I'm here with
Bella Ritchie.
I'm Zion Palmieri, and this was the ASN Coaches Show interview on 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Twister Soda Bar, located at 3289 West Angle Road, right across from Pendleton Heights High School. Twister Soda Bar offers a variety of drinks, including sodas, seltzers,
lemonades, iced coffee, sweetened or unsweetened tea, snacks, and can combine any of those with their syrups, creams, fruit, candy, and edible glitter. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. More information is available at TwistedSodaBar.com. Twisted Soda Bar.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Anita's Diner, located at 777 East Water Street in Pendleton. Daily specials, eat in and carry out from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., Monday through Friday. More information at 765-778-0001. Again, that's 765-778-0001. Anita's Diner.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Lucas Williams, and joining me is Mr. Ritz, who is the Assistant Athletic Director. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Lucas.
All right, so getting right in, can you give me just a more in-depth description of what you do here at the school?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, like you said, I'm the Assistant Athletic Director. I'm down there with Mr. Smith. And a lot of my duties are kind of behind the scenes. I'm in charge of tennis, both boys and girls, scheduling, wrestling, track, and swimming, both boys and girls. So that consists of I pretty much help them get their schedule set, get officials for those different sports. On top of that, I help Mr. Smith with game day operations, with any football, basketball, baseball, softball, any home event. You usually see me or Mr. Smith here, or both of us when there's a big event. I'm also in charge of the athletic locker rooms to make sure each team has enough locks and lockers for their season. So that's pretty much just the basics on what I do on a day-to-day basis.
All right, so what did you have to do to get this job, like type of schooling, you know, stuff like that?
Right. I'm a grad. I'm a 2001 grad here at Pelton Heights High School. Me and Mr. Smith were teammates in the basketball program. As I went off to college, I actually have a bachelor's in criminal justice. I kind of went that route for a while. And then I actually went back and got my master's in sports administration. So then when I came back in the area, I taught here for a few years, was a part of the basketball staff under Coach Hahn and Coach Bates. And then when Mr. Broughton retired, Mr. Smith moved into that athletic director position. And a couple years after he got that, he came to me and said, they're going to make some moves that will allow me to have an assistant in here. Would you, you know, like to be my assistant? I worked in the athletic department, did a lot of supervision and stuff for Coach Broughton. And then when he retired, Coach Smith, I did that for him too. So I just kind of slid into that position kind of full time after that.
All right. So can you give me a little day-to-day schedule around this time of the year?
Correct. Yeah. Right now it's kind of, we're kind of in the transition. We're at the end of winter sports. Actually track starts their official practice on Monday. So right now in the athletic department, we are making sure our schedules are lined up for the spring and finishing up anything with the winter. We got boys sectional swims next week. The wrestlers are in the semi-state Saturday. And our boys basketball start their postseason playing sectional in about 3 weeks. So we're kind of that in between where we're ending winter sports and starting spring sports.
All right. So what do you think your favorite sport to work with is?
I've always been a basketball guy. But I like them all, to be honest with you. Like being part of the athletic director position, you have to you support all the athletes, all the sports. So I don't really have a favorite. Like I said, we have a great sports program here, great coaches, great athletes. So it's always fun to go out and watch them compete.
All right. So speaking of favorites, what do you think is your favorite part of the job?
Favorite part of the job, probably just working with the coaches and the athletes on a day-to-day basis. I always enjoy, like I said, watching them compete, watching them get better throughout the season, you know, the success. Like I said, we have great coaches to work with. It's always great to see them get their athletes ready to compete on a day-to-day basis.
All right. So, you know, what achievements have you made during your time being here?
We've had successful athletic teams. You know, off the top of my head, our softball program's done well. You know, they're back-to-back regional champs. We were one game away last year from making it to the state finals. We've had a lot of individuals, you know, cross-country, track. We've had individuals go to the state finals. We've had a swimmer, boys and girls. They've gone individual to state finals. So we've had a lot of success since Mr. Smith and myself have been in the positions. But, you know, we just want our athletes to be better people when they leave here. That's our main goal. You know, if we never win a state championship or have an individual state championship, if each athlete that leaves here, they become better people, then that's a success to us.
Yes, absolutely. And what do you think you are most proud of this year?
This year, probably most proud of how our athletes have competed. We feel like fall, winter, and obviously we're getting to the spring, our athletes have really competed. And the improvement they've made throughout the year, that's always great to see them succeed towards the end of their season.
All right. Now, with the last question, what are you hoping to achieve next year? And not just next year, but, you know, the following years after that.
Right, right. We just want, like I said, our athletes, you know, if we can compete at the highest level and do it the right way, that's a success. And me and Mr. Smith are both believe that if we can get our athletes and coaches to compete as hard as they can each and every day, and no matter what the outcome is, if they are better people when they leave here and go on to be successful, and they can come back to Pilton Heights and say, hey, you know, this coach, that coach, this sport helped me get where I'm at, then that's one thing that we hope year in, year out happens, and that makes us the most proud.
Now, I did say that. That was the last question, but I actually do have one last one. Do you have any personal achievements, you know, for you?
Oh, not really. You know, I like I said, I try to improve each day, you know, my daily task. And, you know, each year, you know, me and Mr. Smith go in, you know, trying to be better athletic directors than we were last year. You know, if that means, you know, more support to the coaches, you know, what we can do to help athletes succeed, whatever that may be, we just try to be better each and every day.
All right. So that will do it all for today. Thank you, Mr. Ritz, for coming down here and lending some of your time.
Thanks, Lucas. I appreciate it.
And this concludes this section of the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is brought to you by House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning, located at 8711 South State Road 9 in Pendleton. They've been serving Pendleton and surrounding communities since 1960, offering residential heating and air conditioning service and installation, as well as financing and preventative maintenance plans. More information is available at 765-778-3838. House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Regenerative Health and Wellness, LLC, located at 526 North Pendleton Avenue in Pendleton. Dr. Foley and the staff of Regenerative Health and Wellness offer services in the area of weight loss, hormone balance, autoimmune issues, and more. Information about Regenerative Health and Wellness is available at 317-903-1791. Regenerative Health and Wellness, LLC.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. If you're just tuning in, alongside Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Perrell. We're joined here now by the head coach for the boys basketball team here at Pendleton Heights, Coach Buck. Jumping in right here, Coach, you had two games this past week. The first was against Muncie Central last Tuesday. Unfortunately, you weren't able to pull away with the win in that one. But what did you really take away from that game? And looking back on it, how might have you played that differently against the Bearcats?
Well, we ran into problems that we have with some of our other opponents. When we played teams that play aggressive man-to-man defense, they're quick, they're physical. That has bothered us. That's forced us into turnovers, and that's what we ran into against Muncie. We had 14 turnovers for the game. A lot of those were in the first half, and consequently, we lost the points off a turnover battle. They had 15 points off of our turnovers, and we only have 7 off of their turnovers. So that was a key stat, like it has been with other teams, like I said, that play aggressive man-to-man defense and get up into you. You know, also, I thought that Muncie Central shot the ball extremely well. We've seen Muncie and all of the teams that are on our schedule. We see in person, and we watch multiple films, the entire coaching staff. And Muncie Central shot the ball extremely well in comparison to what we had seen them. For the game, they shot 72%, and they shot 54% from behind the arc. So that was another factor. We only shot 33% from behind the arc. We've talked about how we have had success when we've been able to play the inside-out game with our high-low, with our size. We did that at Yorktown, had success, had multiple points in the paint with Laravia and Gustin. We didn't do that as well against Muncie Central, and consequently we kind of fell in love with the three-pointer, and we only shot 33%. We were 7 of 21 from behind the arc for 33%. And like I said, Muncie shot it much better. They shot 53%. And when that happens, that can really make a huge difference in the game. So I give them credit for their man-to-man defense and for shooting it extremely well.
Yeah, and you mentioned Muncie Central had one of their best shooting nights last Tuesday. Shot around that 50% mark from three-point, 70% mark from inside of the arc. So looking back on that, do you think you could have played that any better on defense, contest shots more, or do you think it was simply they were just letting it rain?
Well, there's where quickness steps in again.
Yeah.
I mean, when teams are quick and can beat you off of the dribble and you have to give help from the wing, you're leaving that wing player open. And they kick the ball to the wing, and yes, that player's open, gets a good clean look, and has a better chance of knocking it down because of their quick penetration. So you have to be able to defend and stay in front of the basketball. And in today's game, just about every team that you're going to run into at the college and high school and pro level, it's all about penetrate and kick. So you must stay in front of the basketball. So quickness on defense converts at the other end to quickness off the dribble. And that was a factor in that game, just like it has been against, you know, Anderson, Mount Vernon, New Pal. Those teams, we'll see it tomorrow night against Newcastle. I mean, that's their entire offense is penetrate and kick, and Newcastle's quicker than we are. I told our kids tonight. It's a fact. So we have to be able to stay in front of the basketball tomorrow night and then be able to recover to your man if you do give help. So yeah, we could have done better at that, but still, once again, it is what it is. You can't create quickness if your opponent's quicker than what you are.
So in that Muncie Central game, it was a rough night shooting, and it was first game that no one scored double-digit points for the Arabians. So looking on back on that, what could have gone better for the Arabians?
Well, even the things that we've talked about that made a difference in that Muncie Central game, even they shot it well and they're quick and they bothered us on defense, we had opportunities in the fourth quarter to still win that basketball game, and we had good looks. We had some open looks. I said that we were only, we only shot 7 of 21 from 3, but most of those were good looks. So I said we fell in love with it. We could have had more success with the high-low had we had more patience, but the three-point shots that we took, had we made some of those down the stretch, we win that basketball game. I said it at one of our other games. When the ball goes in the basket, it makes up for a lot of ills. That was the New Pal game. I think I said that to you guys. And down the stretch there, we struggle. Good looks, open looks, shots we want our players to take. Shots that I feel our players can make and shots they think they can make. But if they don't drop, then you don't get over that hump and you don't win, especially if your opponent's dropping them. And that's what Muncie did down the stretch, and we didn't. So, I don't fault our players for, I try not to point out certain players that shot well, but, we have a player that goes 1 for 8, and he hadn't done that all year long, and they were all good looks. So he just had a bad night. I don't fault him for that.
So after that Muncie Central game, you guys have 4 days to prepare for Mississinawa. So what did the practice look like to prepare for that game?
Once again, we have game plans in place well in advance because of the scouting and the films. Mrs. Sennewall created different things for us offensively and defensively than what Muncie Central did. So it was a little bit different prep. But as far as penetrating kick offense, it was much the same. The only thing is, we felt that Muncie Central was not as good of a perimeter team as Mrs. Sennewall was. The night we played Muncie, they shot it extremely well. Mm-hmm. But going in, we didn't think they could. And Mrs. Sennewall, we were concerned about that. They had enough quickness that they could beat us off the dribble, and then they had enough shooters that we thought that could hurt us from behind the arc. And we saw that particularly in the first quarter of the game. We thought our defense was sluggish against the Mrs. Sennewall. Not sure why that was, but from the first quarter on, I thought that our defense really picked it up against Mrs. Sennewall, and that's when we start getting back into the game, finally took the lead in the second half.
Yeah, and you look deeper on that Mrs. Sennewall one. You guys were trailing heading into the locker rooms as well as that first quarter. In fact, that first quarter, you trailed 15-6, if I'm correct. And, you know, they kind of came out there, punch you guys in the mouth. So how are you able to recover in that third quarter specifically and take the lead and then finish out the rest of that game in the fourth?
Well, we, once again, our intensity increased beginning in the second quarter. It was even greater in the third and fourth quarter. We started to play with more of a sense of urgency, which at this time of the year, I think we should be playing four quarters with a sense of urgency. We've discussed that. We made some adjustments at halftime, and then we were able to run some of our offensive sets based off of their switching man-to-man defense, which they did the entire first half. We made some of those adjustments in the second half and caught them in a position because of them switching all screens that was effective. But we had players knock down threes, what we just talked about at Muncie. We didn't. You know, we had a great balanced attack against Mrs. Sennewall. We shot 11 from 18 from behind the arc. Cooper Sims was 3 of 5. Aaron Cookston was 2 of 3. Evan Mazingo was 5 of 7, which, you know, that's about the third game in a row that Evan has shot it extremely well. All of his hard work throughout the season, I keep telling him, is paying off against Muncie Central. You know, he had 16 at Muncie Central, and he was 4 of 6 from behind the arc there. He backs that up with 5 of 7 from behind the arc against Miss Sinewa. So he ends up with 15 points. Seth LaRabia had another good game for us. He was 3 of 3 from two-point range. He was 1 of 1 from behind the arc, had 9. And then Josiah Augustin had 14, chipped in with 14. Had a great game for us as well. Great balanced attack, but a game where we shot much better than what we did against Muncie Central. You know, we were 61% outside of the three-point arc. And I said that, you know, we were only 33% at Muncie Central, right along with what I said earlier.
Yeah, and Josiah hit the 1,000 career point mark in that Miss Sinewa game. So what does that milestone really mean for him as well as his teammates and the team as a whole?
Well, great accomplishment for Josiah. Josiah, I've said before, is a very nice young man, very unselfish, you know, not a player that wants to be a ball hog. We would like for him to have more attempts, be a little bit more aggressive on offense. But Josiah, if he misses a shot here or there, you know, he has a tendency to feel like that he may be hogging the ball, and he sometimes passes up good looks. But, you know, very proud of him, very happy for Josiah and his family, for him to be able to become one of 9 players in school history to break 1,000 points. Yeah. That's a great accomplishment and something that he'll be proud of for the rest of his life.
All right, but with that being said, that'll do it with our first segment here with Coach Buck. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll look forward to the next week for boys basketball here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios, offering dental care for children and adults, as well as education for the maintenance of your dental health. More information is available by phone at 765-221-5900, on site at 113 South Heritage Way in Pendleton, or online at drdanawright.com. Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Rollins House and Falk Creek Retirement Village, located at 300 JH Walker Drive in Pendleton. Rollins House provides independent and assisted living, rehabilitation, long-term care, memory support, and more. More information is available at 765-778-7501, Rollins House and Falk Creek Retirement Village.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on this lovely Monday afternoon or evening. If you're just tuning in alongside Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Perrell. We're joined here once again by the head coach for the boys basketball team here at Pendleton Heights, Coach Buck. Looking forward to the next week, Coach. You got two games. The first one will be tomorrow against Newcastle. As you know, it's senior night, so what do you and the team have planned for that game to celebrate the seniors and the effort they have put in not only this season but the prior years as well?
Well, hopefully we'll celebrate with a win. Yeah. That's what all of our seniors would like to do, is get a win and make a memorable senior night for them and their families.
Yeah, and a bit more about on the tomorrow about the game itself. Despite Newcastle being last in the Hoosier Heritage, a conference game will be tough no matter the opponent. So really, what's the game plan? What have you been working on in practice heading into this one?
Well, I mentioned a little bit in our first segment, Newcastle's offense, their sets, are based off of penetration and kick. The thing about Newcastle, we do not match up very well with them because we feel that they're quicker than us. They can put five players on the floor at a time that can all shoot extremely well from behind the arc. They can play one big that is not going to hurt us from behind the arc, and surround him with four players that do. So they're going to either have four players or five at a time on the floor that live and die behind the three-point line. And if you defend that, then their quickness, just like I talked about Muncie Central, their quickness, they're very good at breaking you down off the dribble and getting to the basket. And if you have to give help from the corners, then that's when they kick to the corners, and they have some players that are just knocked down three shooters in that corner. So that's going to be the dilemma. Now, they don't have the size that we have, so they're trying to figure out how they're going to guard us on the other end as well. They don't match up real well with us. But, if we don't take advantage of our size, like we did at Yorktown, like I said, we did not do at Muncie, then we're going to have a hard time beating this basketball team. We have to take advantage of what our strengths are, just like they're going to try to take advantage of theirs. And both teams are working on defensive schemes to try to stop that.
Yeah, and you mentioned there Newcastle, very quick team. As you're mentioning, not necessarily matching up too well with the size. So you faced quick teams in the past. Of course, Anderson, one that comes to mind personally when it comes to quick, just really good defensive team. So what specifically are you guys going to have to do in order to kind of beat their quickness?
Well, The difference between this team and a team like Anderson doesn't have as many players that can knock it down from behind that three-point range. So you can give a little bit more help off of certain players, not off the players that can. Newcastle's problem for us is that they can put four out there at a time, or five, that can all shoot it. And then you're really, really in trouble if you have to give help on the dribble. I don't want to talk too much about our schemes, but there are different things that we have worked on that we will try to counteract that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is we're just going to have to be able to stay in front of the basketball, or it could be a long night for us. This game, not only is it senior night, our players have some goals and trying to exceed some things that they've done in their careers, exceed some things that have been done. It's been a long time since it has been done at Pendleton Heights as far as the boys' basketball program. And one of those goals, it's been 4 years since Pendleton Heights boys' team has had a winning record in the HHC conference. And right now we stand at 3-3. We're in fourth place. And our players would like to end the conference play with a winning record. It'd be the first time in their career and the first time in 4 years for the boys program. Mount Vernon still has some games to play. we could even end up in a tie for third place in the conference. But if we could win tomorrow night, we'd assure ourselves of at least fourth place finish in the conference, which would be the best that we've had in some time here at Pendleton Heights as well. So that's one goal for tomorrow night, and then the ultimate goal is to get that win to make a memorable experience for our seniors.
So moving forward to the second game this week, that's going to be against Heritage Christian on Thursday night at Heritage Christian. So being the last game of the regular season, what does the team have to keep in mind in order to beat the Royals on the road?
Well, Coach Baker and I saw Heritage Christian play in person on Friday night. Another team that has some quick athletes on the team. They have size. They have some shooters. So we haven't started watching film on them yet. We've just seen them the one time in person. So really haven't put together a game plan for them. A concern I have after we play tomorrow night, there are 10 days between Newcastle game and Heritage Christian. One positive about that, we can take some time off, maybe get a little bit of rest for our players. We have plenty of time to work on Heritage Christian, and then also we'll have some time to work on sectional teams that we will be matched up against as well. So that, you know, that lull, that long, lengthy time between games could be a problem, but also can be a bonus. We'll try to take advantage of that extra time for practice and rest.
So now Heritage Christian doesn't have a necessarily star player, so how do you shut down a team shaped like the Royals?
Well, each team, as I said earlier, creates different problems. After watching them one time, they're a team that they duck their head and go. Have athletes that just literally duck their head and go. We saw them play Roncalli. Roncalli struggled to stay in front of the basketball and stop that penetration, so Roncalli went to a zone, but it didn't stop them. They just literally duck their head. Their athletes do duck their head and go to the rim, create, or get to the rim. So that's the biggest problem we saw from the get-go, and they have more size. They have a post player that much bigger than Newcastle's post player. Mm-hmm. So not only are they just quick and athletic and can get to the rim, they do take advantage of their size as well.
Yeah, now something you've been mentioning really since our first week all the way back against Anderson is, you know, you try to peak around the sectional time, around this February-March time. So at this point in the season, you still got a couple weeks to go, but would you say your team is heading in that right direction when it comes to peaking? If so, why? Or if not, why not?
Without a doubt, I thought that, you know, I think that we got better throughout the season.
Yeah.
We had some hiccups. You know, I mentioned maybe on the last show that we wanted to make a strong run in February. We thought we could put together a five-game winning streak. We missed that at Muncie Central, but we had a big win on the road at Yorktown, and that was a good step for us. Muncie, like I said, we didn't get the win that we wanted, but then we bounced back against Mississippi. Came out in the first quarter flat, disappointed with that, but really picked it up. I thought that our competitiveness won that basketball game. It was one of those games where we kind of refused to lose. And I heard what our senior players had to say in timeouts. I heard what our senior players had to say in the locker room at halftime. And I think that was a great sign, and it has been coming all along that we have some players, our competitors, that are tired of coming close in their career. They're wanting to win, not just come close. And I think that we've seen that this year. You know, a game that will go down that was a big, big loss was the Greenfield game, and I mentioned that in our other radio shows. Great effort on both teams, but a game we had won multiple times, and that hurt our kids. Some bounced back better than others. I think that could have been a huge stepping stone had we gotten that game, but we didn't. And you just, it's just like life. You got to get back up. You got to keep battling. You can't let that hold you back from the ultimate goals that you have. And that's the track that we're trying to stay on. So, you know, if we could get a win tomorrow night, it'd be a huge win on senior night, and then go to Heritage Christian and get another one. That'd be four out of five games that we would win in the month of February, and that would be a good string going in to sectional.
All right. With that being said, that'll do it for our segments here with Coach Buck. Once again, Coach, thanks for coming down, and good luck this upcoming week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Ryan and I will take a look at some of the other sports around Pendleton Heights High School, look towards them, and then recap as well their last couple weeks. But that'll be on up next after this short break on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEN.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What makes education-based athletics in Indiana different from other youth sports programs?
Our coaches genuinely care about their student-athletes as people, not just as athletes. And their top priority is teaching and mentoring, not winning and losing.
Our student-athletes play for the love of the game. They have pride in their school and community. They want to represent something bigger than themselves.
Our parents and fans know the student-athletes on the team. They've seen them grow up and care about them. They paint their faces, pack the stands, and cheer loud and proud. I'm Robert Falkins.
And I'm Carrie Rosati. We're both assistant commissioners of the IHSAA. High school sports in Indiana couldn't be more different from other youth sports programs.
And we wouldn't have it any other way. Be a champion of high school sports and buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is keeping education in front of athletics. This is passion you won't find anywhere else. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
We welcome you back here to Pendleton Heights High School for the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEN. If you're just tuning in, alongside Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Peril. For our final segment this evening, Ryan and I will take a look at some of the other sports around Pendleton Heights. Some of the other winter sports, of course, majority of them, if not all of them, entering their postseason play. Some of them already finished up. Of course, girls basketball, I think girls swimming is finished up as well as some others, but still plenty of them. Got plenty of games left to play, plenty of meets, whatever it is. But starting off here, I want to take a bit more at boys basketball. Of course, we already talked about them plenty, but I want to point out a bit more on the standings for Pendleton Heights. You know, we just heard Coach Buck mention in our previous interview about how one of his many goals for this team is to have a winning record in the Hoosier Heritage and maybe even finish in the top three, tied for third with Mount Vernon, which is possible at this point. But Pendleton Heights, you know, you take a look currently at the Hoosier Heritage bracket. They're coming in at fourth place. They're just behind Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon is standing 4-1 in the conference compared to Pendleton Heights, who's standing 3-3. Mount Vernon overall record 13-8. Pendleton Heights overall record 10-11. So again, they have a shot to tie it up, get to third place. That's going to be, of course, quite the challenge. Mount Vernon, I think it's more Mount Vernon has to lose a pair of games, and then Pendleton Heights will have to win against Newcastle. So we'll see if they can do that. So the other conference standings, Greenfield still a first. They're still undefeated, 20-0, 7-0 in the conference. New Pal, not too far behind them. They're 5-1 in the conference, 17-4 overall. Mount Vernon, as I was just mentioning, a third. Pendleton Heights fourth. Then Delta at fifth, 2-4 in the conference. Shelbyville, Yorktown, they are tied for fifth. Shelbyville technically above them, the tiebreaker with the overall, but they both have a 1-5 record in the conference. And then Newcastle coming in at last with 1-5. Again, tied for the conference rankings, but their 9-10 conference record. You know, Pendleton Heights at this point, another thing that Coach Buck was mentioning is he wants to get that overall record above 500 for the first time in quite a while. So, Ryan, what exactly is Pendleton Heights going to have to do moving forward to hopefully complete that goal?
I think they just got to stay motivated. I think the biggest thing is just stick to your game. I mean, Arabians have a lot of talent, and heading into the sectionals, a lot of people, I think, a lot of the teams are thinking they want to play us for, if I'm correct, we haven't won a game but against our sectional teams. Yeah. But at the same time, we go against Greenfield Central. We lose by two in double overtime against probably what I would say maybe the best team in the state for 4A. For being 20-0, it's a tough task to do to be undefeated in 4A. I think Greenfield Central, they have a great player in Braylon Mullins. He played great against the Arabians, but at the same time, the Arabians have a possibility of beating them. They were every single game against all the sectional opponents have been really close, within 5-6 points. Greenfield Central, 2 points.
Yeah, that's actually what I was just about to mention. You know, you take a look at the sectional standings. Pendleton Heights coming in at last. They haven't won against any sectional opponent, as you were just saying, Ryan. 0-6 in the sectional. But I am personally really, really excited for this postseason for sectional 9 and 4A specifically, as well as the entirety of the postseason. But specifically sectional 9, or in other words, Pendleton Heights, their sectional. And that's because every single game, whether that's against Pendleton Heights and Anderson, Muncie Central and Anderson, or even Richmond and Greenfield Central, no matter what two opponents have played in the regular season, it's been very, very close. And, of course, that's kind of, I think that'll be very true. If anything, even more true in sectionals, because, you know, they're going to be playing even harder, and the games are already closer. So, you know, I'm very excited to see, because I think it can truly be anyone. I think Pendleton Heights has a very good shot to win the sectional. Anderson, they very close. Both times they played them, Greenfield Central, of course, they lost to them on a buzzer beater. New Pal, a team that they had a chance to beat there. Mount Vernon lost by a single score. So every single team here in the sectional, Arabians have competed with. So again, I'm very excited to see how they can do in the postseason play. But of course, you still got two games before that, so got to focus on those two before you get too excited for that time of year. Taking a look at some of the other sports I was mentioning, starting off here with wrestling. They just had their semi-state round this past weekend. Two seniors that a lot of people were pretty excited to see play, or who the only two seniors who competed for semi-state, that being Jalen Covington and Jackson Todd. Again, both of them being seniors. Jackson Todd, unfortunately, was not able to advance to state. He lost to Williams there in the second round of his 144-pound bracket. And Williams, a great wrestler there. I was talking to Hayden Edmondson, one of the JV seniors there, and he was saying that Williams, you know, he was tough, but Jackson Todd, at the end of the day, was projected to win that match. So, again, very unfortunate for Jackson. Tough to see his season end like that. I'm sure he was really looking forward to going to state, and really sour that he wasn't able to do so. But, again, great year for Jackson Todd. And I think at this point he plans to wrestle at a college level, collegiate level, so we'll see about that. But on the other side, that for Pendleton Heights, Jalen Covington, he didn't win his bracket, I don't think, but he is going to go on to play in state. At least that's what I was hearing, trying to find his name here. But he also, another senior at Pendleton Heights, he'll be heading over to state. So Pendleton Heights, you know, not able to get Jackson Todd in, but it's nice to see Jalen get in there to compete in the sectional round, which will be here in about a week. That'll be down in Evansville, usually at Indianapolis, but of course with the All-Star weekend, they're going to move it down to Evansville. Bit of a farther drive for the Pendleton Heights, but of course still a nice place to have it. And then you look at the boys swimming side of things, they're going to be having their sectional prelims on the 15th, so here this week, 6 p.m. Of course, the prelims is kind of like your elimination round, and then you'll be having your sectional finals 2 days later on the 17th. That's going to be at 1 p.m., so the sectional week for Pendleton Heights boys swimming, and then after that, you look on to the next week. They go sectional straight to state finals. Of course, most sports is going to go to sectional, regional, and then state, not swimming, sectional, then state final. So after this week, after the sectional week, they're going to turn it around, go into the state final week. The state final prelims, same thing as sectional prelims, the quote-unquote elimination round, that would be on the 23rd, 6 p.m., and then the state final prelims, they have two rounds, I guess, of that. That'll be on the 24th, so the very next day, and then finally, state finals be on after that. But with that being said, that'll do it for our show here this evening. Alongside Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Perrell. We hope you all enjoyed. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Pendleton Heights, as we've been talking about all evening, they're going to be back at it here at home for senior night against Newcastle. That one tips off 7:30 with the Pre-game show starting 7:15, so be sure to tune in tomorrow evening. But we hope you all enjoyed. Thanks to the board out back in the studio, making sure our broadcast runs over smoothly. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Without you, we would not be able to come out here, call these games, and do these shows. And last, but definitely not least, thanks to all who tuned in this evening. Have a nice Monday and have a nice week. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.